Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Brandon Bigsby broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So glad to have you with us on this Wednesday. Final show before Thanksgiving, and it's shortened. We will be with you till 10:30, leading you right into Vanderbilt men's basketball. I am down here with Vanderbilt women's basketball for the Paradise Jam Tournament. Gets going tomorrow. Corey Curtis back in studio. Corey, how's it going?
I am a delight. Thank you. We have company today. My daughter Ava has joined me. She's filling the big chair.
Welcome, Ava. Yeah, we've got some extra people in studio. It's Thanksgiving. Got to have the family in studio today for the show.
Ma familia.
Well, happy to have you with us, Corey. Again, shortened show, but we got plenty to get to. Going to talk some college football later in the show. Of course, the big story around here is Vanderbilt and Tennessee coming up Saturday afternoon. Vanderbilt trying to play their way into the college football playoff. Might have gotten a little bit harder based on the way the rankings shook out yesterday. But with the Titans coming off another loss, of course, 1-10, but a promising game for Cam Ward, I guess you could say. The way that he played down the stretch, scored two touchdowns for the first time in his career, one on the ground, one through the air, and at least got the Titans a chance at an onside kick late in that game, down six. It was overall a good day for Cam Ward and a step in the right direction against one of the better defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you saw once again his increased willingness to take easier throws and allow players to get the ball and do work. I think, you know, for the second game in a row, you saw his willingness to run. And I think he's seeing how when he runs, it can really open up avenues for him to throw it. You know, when he approaches the line of scrimmage, those linebackers have to suck up in on him, and it opens up, you know, little lanes for him to throw the football to, and there's space for people to run. And so, you know, I think he has seen that. And I think, you know, a big number the last 2 weeks, as he has rushed for, I think, 70 yards in the last 2 weeks, or 70 or 76 yards in the last 2 weeks, the Titans' third down conversion rate was 28% the first 9 weeks. It was 38% the last 2 weeks, and that doesn't include the 5-for-7 that they had on fourth down on Sunday. So their conversion rate was higher. They ran 66 offensive plays. As you know, Jake, that's a number that I keep bringing up as offensive plays because they're in the 40s all the time. For them to run 66 offensive plays, now you see Gunnar Helm catch 6 passes, Chig Okonkwo catch 3 passes, Chim Dike catch 5 passes. Suddenly you start to see some volume for some guys because you're on the field long enough to get them the ball. You know, your opening drive was 15 plays. I think they had another 15-play drive, you know, late in the game. And so, you know, his completion percentage is up near 60% now for the season. He was right about 67% for that game. So, you know, it's not perfect, but it's moving forward. And that's what you're looking for. And we always said that the season was about him and not about wins and losses. That doesn't mean that 1-10 is okay by any means. But what is okay is the fact that he's getting better. And that's really what you were looking for. You know, I know everybody wants to see, you know, Jaden Daniels, you know, right out of the chute, or whoever, you know, CJ Stroud right out of the chute. But long sustained improvement is usually a better way to go.
Yeah, and we've been talking about needing to see consistency from Cam Ward, and I thought that was one of his more complete games. You mentioned 15-play drive to start the day. He was moving the football. I believe he started 8 of 10 throwing the football. Yep. And then at the end of the game, you needed to score touchdowns late. He was able to sustain drives, made plays on third and fourth down to get to move the chains and keep those drives alive. Overall, it was probably his best game of the year, and coming off the bye week, he played well in that game against the Texans, at least better than he did in the first game against Houston.
Yes.
Then puts that game together, and now you just hope to see it continue to ascend. Again, it may not lead to more wins on the field. You hope to see another win or two, but you're at least starting to see the young quarterback is making those adjustments. And you mentioned running the football. I think that's been the biggest thing we've seen since the bye week is the willingness to tuck it and run. And it does open up way more for this offense when he can get outside the pocket and can do more than just throw the football.
Well, I mean, Mike McCoy brought it up on Monday. You know, he loved his first pass of the game. He dropped back. He saw the seam in the middle, and he ran. It was second and 10, and he ran up, or second and 7, and he ran up the middle and got like 10 yards for a first down. I mean, it was there. It's an easy first down. Take it. They want to. It's like Billy Beane in Moneyball. They want to give you an out. Take it from them. Say thank you. You know, they want to give you 10 yards. It's there. It's wide open. Take it. And his, you know, it doesn't mean that you're a running quarterback if you take free yards. It means you're smart. Okay, and because I don't think he wants to be labeled as a running quarterback. I don't think anybody ever will label him as a running quarterback. Patrick Mahomes isn't a running quarterback, but he's extremely effective in moving the chains. They had a 2nd and 5 during the game where he ran for 4, and that sets up 3rd and 1. And what does 3rd and 1 do? It gives you options, right? And so you don't necessarily have to move the chains, but you are moving the ball forward. You know, we saw it so many times earlier this year where he would extend a play, but he would stay behind the line of scrimmage, and he'd either end up taking a sack or throwing an incompletion. And so, if, say it's 2nd and 10, it's now 3rd and 10, where he could have run, and even if he'd gotten 3, 4, or 5 yards, now you're looking at 3rd and short or 3rd and manageable. And that's a much better place to be. It makes the playbook a lot bigger. You don't have to block as long up front if you call a quicker pass play. So I think, you know, I think he's seeing some of that. I think the numbers bear it out. And by the way, we haven't brought up that is a nasty, nasty Seattle defense. Those guys were fast, and they were physical, and they were a handful. I mean, that's a game the bullets were flying, okay? And he didn't waver. They've played a lot of good defenses this year, and Seattle is another one of them. I mean, Leonard Williams and Byron Murphy, I mean, those are bad men up front. And the Titans had their hands full with them. And so this isn't Cam Ward taking a step forward against a bad team, all right? This was Cam Ward taking a step forward against a really good team. And I think that makes that kind of validates it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think you can take out any excuses for Cam Ward from Sunday, because it's not like he was facing the worst defense in the league and had all of his weapons at his disposal. He was playing a good Seahawks defense.
No Ridley, no Io Manor. Yeah.
Right. Going out there with a 4th-round rookie, a veteran minimum guy in Van Jefferson, and a bunch of practice squatters. That was his receiving core. And he made the most of it.
Moved the ball.
We got to see Xavier Restrepo for the first time. He had a couple of catches. Mm-hmm. He was on the receiving end of that nice running play from Cam Ward on 3rd down. It's not like you can say, oh, well, he was playing a bad defense and his weapons were good. No, there was not a whole lot going Cam Ward's way, and he still was able to make the most of it on Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't think he threw a screen pass that went for 66 to pad his stats either.
No, he did not. And I will give Shedeur Sanders credit, because he looked better than I expected him to.
Look, he won
Sunday.
The game.
Right.
I'm not to spare. I just don't like people when they inflate things to be that they are not.
Right.
That's all.
You can't just box score scout and compare the numbers and say, oh, look at this. He threw a 68-yard touchdown. Well, Dylan Sampson did probably 70 yards worth of work on that play.
Now, the ball to Jerry Judy, that's a good-looking ball.
That was a great throw.
Emphasize that one. Put that one on blast.
Yes.
That's a good ball.
Yeah, I mean, if you were just scouting the box score, you would never know, because Jerry Jeudy fumbled on the end of that too, right? He kind of tried to make a little juke move and got it poke free from behind. So, and we're going to get a head-to-head matchup almost certainly between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward coming up in about a week and a half.
The problem with that matchup is that Cam Ward has to face Myles Garrett.
Right.
Who's a freak of nature.
Yeah, 18 sacks this season for Myles Garrett. And I was talking with Nick Frazier yesterday of what if we get a repeat of the Titans just motioning a tight end back and forth over and over, trying to make sure that Myles Garrett doesn't get a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah,
it's not easy to face that defense. And I'm not sure if the Titans are going to be able to win that game, but you'd like to see Cam Ward at least outplay Shedeur Sanders in that game to avoid some of those narratives starting to pop up.
You know, with the Browns playing the 49ers this week, after watching the 49ers on Monday night, I'm not sure the Browns don't give them a run with their defense.
Yeah. No, I agree. The Browns can win games with their defense. Yeah. They don't need a whole lot offensively if they're going to win football games. And that's why in Cleveland in a week and a half in early December, I'm not counting on the Titans to win that game. I'm not counting on the Titans to win any game, in fact. But, you know, we'll see if Cam Ward's development can maybe lead to a second mark in the win column. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll keep talking Titans here in the first half of the show. Again, it is a shortened show today. We are only with you until 10:30. We'll hand it off to Kevin Ingram and Tim Thompson there from the Bahamas as Vanderbilt men's basketball faces Western Kentucky in game one of the Battle for Atlantis. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk about the Titans offense and special teams. Jim Dike with another huge punt return touchdown on Sunday against the Seahawks. And we touched on Xavier Restrepo's debut. We'll talk a little bit more about what he did and what he could do moving forward. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Brandon Bigsby, next man up, 1025 the game. Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Western Kentucky, 11 a.m. tip-off, and the pregame show starts at 10:30 right after us here on 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Brandon Bigsby with you on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a great start to their Thanksgiving holiday, if you're either done working or finishing up work today. Titans falling to 1-10 on Sunday after a 30-24 loss against the Seahawks. They will be back in action at Nissan Stadium, ending this long homestand against the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend. And Corey, Jim Dike has turned into a star in the making for this team, leads the league in all-purpose yardage. And after 13 years without a punt return touchdown for the Titans, he has two in the last month. 90 yards on Sunday against the Seahawks. Looking like an absolute steal for Mike Borgonzi in his first draft to get Jim Dike at the top of the fourth round.
Well, not only that, I had a third one called back. Remember earlier this year, was that against the Rams?
Yes, it was.
That Cedric Gray penalty. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he could have three. He is averaging 23 yards per punt return, which is a staggering number. And, you know, it's become a real weapon for the Titans. Unfortunately, we're now at the point where you have to assume teams are going to start kicking it out of bounds. At least that's what I would do. But he has become a weapon, and you know you've seen he needs to get the ball in the receiving game, you know, as well. You know, because that's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how other teams handle this. And this is a really interesting game in the kicking game. Because the Titans are number one in punt returns. The Jaguars are number two in punt returns. The Jaguars are number two in punt coverage. All right? So they're very good at covering punts. So for the Titans to have a chance in this one, they still need to find a way to excel in special teams. If they can come up with a big return, certainly not give up a big return, it would go a long way in this game. But Jacksonville actually has been very good in special teams this year, along with the Titans. And that's, you know, when you got the Titans and the Jags, you usually don't have a ton of intriguing matchups, but that's kind of an intriguing matchup. And you know, back to Jim Dike specifically, I don't know if you remember this, but when they named him the punt returner for the opening game, all I heard was grumbling from everyone. Kind of like when they drafted him, you're grumbling from everyone. And all this guy has done is prove everyone wrong each step of the way. And the only question I have is, how did Florida hold him back?
Right. And it was funny with Bones Fossil a week before the season started said, oh, well, I don't think he's earned that right to be the punt returner yet. And now obviously we're seeing what he's been able to do this year. But you're right, in the offensive side, he has basically become the Titans' number one wide receiver with who they have available right now. And he scored a touchdown Sunday at the very end, had five catches. He's a guy that you can build around. And I'm not saying that he's going to be the number one wide receiver, but he is a playmaker, a threat to take the top off the defense that the Titans just really have not had in a very long time.
Well, they've needed speed. I mean, they've needed speed all over the field. And he is a one guy who brings, you know, legitimate 4-3 speed. You know, you watch him play, he is very smooth with the football. He just kind of glides across the ground, and has very good field vision. You know, he's able, not everybody was able to run at top speed and see the field, and he can. And so that's, you know, one of his things. He is, like you said, he's, you know, leading the league in all-purpose yards. He is on pace to set the NFL single-season all-purpose right. yards record. Not by much, and doing it in 17 games and not 16. You know, Derek Mason is second all-time. Darren Sproles is first. So he's also on pace then, of course, to beat Derek Mason's record. But again, that's a 16-game record, and this will be done in 17 games, but... But Chim can't do anything about that. All he can do is perform.
Right, and he has been a bright spot for this Titans team that has needed some in a 1-10 season. To the opposite end of the speed spectrum, Xavier Restrepo made his debut on Sunday against the Seahawks. And he honestly, he got more playing time than I expected him to.
16 snaps.
I thought, right, and 6 targets, which, yeah. you know, Cam Ward and
clearly
him.
Clearly sure, looking for him.
right. Cam Ward wanted to get the ball in his friend's hands. And six targets, 2 catches. Yeah. Obviously, you'd like him to catch more, but yeah. he did make a couple of plays. You could see the connection of Cam knew where Xavier Restrepo was trying to go when the play broke down on that third down, and then came up a yard shy of a touchdown. So Xavier Restrepo, I think, played more than I expected, played better than I expected. Mm-hmm. And again, you're 1-10 with 6 games to go. I don't see the harm in continuing to give him reps out there.
No, see what you got, see what he could do. I mean, not everyone has straight line speed. Some guys have okay straight line speed, but really good, you know, short burst quickness, lateral movement. Right. And maybe he's one of those guys. I mean, not every package is the same, all right? And not everybody succeeds the same way. We always talk about Anquan Boldin. He was not a fast player, but he was a great player. Nope. You know, Jerry Rice was not a burner, but nobody ever caught him with the ball in his hands. You know, Julian Edelman, you know, shaped a lot like Xavier Restrepo, right? I mean, and so, you know, you're 1-10. It's not going to hurt to see, you know, what you've got, you know, to see, you know, how much a part of your future that he could be. You know, because we don't know. You know, it's just like with Cam Ward. Everybody wants to say that they know that he's, you know, going to be this NFL player or not going to be. I don't know. I mean, he caught 2 passes, which is, you know, 2 more than a lot of other guys have caught. So that's a decent start. And I'm sure if you asked him, he would tell you he should have caught the touchdown pass because he did get a hand on it. He was in double coverage, but ball was there and he had a hand on it. But... You know, he didn't embarrass himself out there. I know that much. And the Titans put 7 points on the board with him on the field. So, you know, let's take a look. I mean, what's it
right.
going to hurt?
Yeah. He did not look like he was a fish out of water, right? Like he looked like he belonged on an NFL field, which is a long way from saying that he's going to be a starting level NFL wide receiver for this team, but he looked like he belonged, and we'll see what he can do the rest of the way. I struggle to believe that he's going to turn into this star, and there are examples of it, of undrafted guys. You mentioned Julian Edelman, who I believe he also started as a scout team guy who was playing safety on scout team before
he finally...
Was he a quarterback
at some point?
He was a quarterback at Kent State.
That's okay. That's what I thought.
So
and so is Jakobi Meyers, who's playing with the Jaguars right now.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he was traded over from the Raiders. So yeah. Xavier Restrepo, it was a decent debut for a guy who I don't know if he's going to even be a part of this team next year. But at the very least, you've got a guy that you can take a look at the rest of the season and hope that he can add some depth for this team because, as we've seen, that wide receiver room is desperately in need of some depth.
Yeah, well, like I'll be shocked if he's not a part of this team next year, on at least the practice squad level. You know, we'll wait and we see because they need numbers there. You know, I you have to wonder if it's the end of the line for Mason Kinsey. You know, Bryce Oliver is an outstanding special teams player. I still think he can play receiver in this league as well. He's just unfortunately been hurt this year. Because, you know, there was opportunity for him this year, and he just was unable to seize it because of the knee injury. You feel like Bryce Oliver will be back because he is a core special teams player. You think Calvin Ridley is going to be gone, very likely. And so,
yes.
they're gonna need people at that position. You know, I don't know. You would think they draft another one. I don't know what Van Jefferson's future is. I don't know if they like him as just like, you know, a five. Having that veteran out there. I don't know. Because he's for what they signed him to be, he's been fine.
He's been exactly what you expected.
And so, you know, the way that group gets put together, you know, could also depend on who the head coach is and what he wants to do. But there will always be a value on special teams. And, you know, I think DK and Oliver are clearly guys who perform special team roles in that wide receiver room, which open it up for other guys to just be wide receivers.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our phone lines. Trey is on the line wanting
Trey.
To chime in. Trey, thanks for calling.
Good morning.
What you got for
good
us today?
Morning. Good morning. Hey, I just want to say, y'all was coming in about Rich Trespo. Hey, I like that he was in there. I think he needed that opportunity. Cam needed him to be in there. I think they could be dynamic coming up. I would keep him in the lineup. I would let him play the rest of the season because he's going to add value to the team, you know, with Cam, especially in the beginning of next year. You know, if he keep putting in the work, I think he could be a decent player. I'm not going to say he's going to be a number one, but he can be decent. And if he gives Cam the help and if they get another receiver, and I wouldn't even go, like, out of the state. We got pretty good receivers here at Vanderbilt and at Tennessee, like Brazel and all those big dudes. I wouldn't even shop outside of the state because we could get a good first, you know, second round or third round receiver to help the team. And I think things are looking up. I just want Cam to continuously to play better. I know it was garbage stats, so to speak, but I think he's coming along. I'm getting there, y'all. Y'all have a good day and happy Thanksgiving.
Well, I don't think
Trey.
I don't think there was anything garbage about his stats.
No, they were trying to fight their way back into the game.
It was a football game. There's no question about it. It was a football game. It wasn't 45-3. All right. It was a football game. They were an onside kick away from having a chance to win the football game, which is the NFL, right? They played three straight games that have been one possession games against teams with winning records. And, you know, as you're looking for baby steps, that's baby steps. You need to win games. You need to be more complete. You need to perform for all four quarters. I get all that. But they've been more competitive than they were at the end of the Brian Callahan era, where they were not very competitive, okay? And so, I think you can say they're getting better. I don't want to call Xavier Restrepo dynamic, all right? I don't. I do want to see what he can do, all right? I do want to see what he can do. And that's like I want to see what Bryce Oliver can do, but I can't because he's hurt, all right? These young guys that are unproven, I want to see what they can do. You know, they'll answer the rest of those questions for us.
615-737-1025. Let's go back to our phone line. Scott is also on the line wanting to chime in about Xavier Restrepo. Scott, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Great.
Doing great.
I had called in yesterday, and we are basically saying what I was saying yesterday. I completely agree with Restrepo. Like you said, given where we're at with the season, he needs to stay in the game. Sure. You know, he came in and contributed in a short time Sunday. Imagine what he can do if he's out there, you know, all four quarters. And it's undeniable the chemistry of him and Cam had. And by the way, I did see a post-game interview of Restrepo. I believe it was in the locker room on Instagram. And the guy I talked like basically is a vet. And he did say, hey, that was my fault. I should have caught that ball in the end zone. You know, he talked about how he went to Cam on the sidelines and was like, you know, that was on me. You know, and it's almost like he's, you know, talking, sounded like a veteran, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a guy who works. I mean, Mike McCoy talked about it. We all see it. You know, he's a 5 a.m. guy with Cam Ward. He's one of the first guys on the field Sunday when he knew he was playing. There's no question that he knows the work that it takes, the commitment that it takes. And every time we've talked to him, you talk about having that veteran presence. He's a team guy first. He's never going to put himself first. You know, he's always going to talk about opportunity, you know, seizing an opportunity but doing it for the team. And, you know, veterans, quarterbacks and receivers will also say, you know, the receiver will say, I should have caught it. The quarterback will say, I could have thrown a better ball. You know, when guys don't say that, you know there's a problem.
Right. And also, I know I've said it before, but, you know, I think people need to get over the 4-8 run time. You know, the weeks leading up to that bad run, he was consistently running a 4-5, you know, and I keep going back. He makes me think of Welker and – Amendola, you know, they were like 4'6", 4'7" guys, you know, some of the best slot receivers, you know, in the NFL. I mean, I think he could be that guy for us.
Yeah, there's a lot of 4'6" guys out there.
Yeah. And also, you know, as far as Cam's stats, I mean, yeah, he earned them. I mean, he was in duress every snap.
Yeah.
Sunday, you know, and you know, the guy's got heart, and it was impressive to see what he could do, you know, being under duress like that. I don't want to see him get hurt. You know, that rush touchdown, you know, that was a great standing fight for it. But, you know, save that for the AFC Championship or Super Bowl game or something. You know, I just don't want to see him get hurt doing something like that.
I think they would like him to limit some of the hits he takes. I think they would like to see him throw the ball away sooner instead of taking so many hits.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you letting me chime in. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Scott. Happy Thanksgiving. Good stuff there. I agree. Cam Ward, like to see the fight to get in the end zone, but that probably wasn't the spot where you wanted him to go full outstretch trying to get in.
You know what?
But
you get in.
He finally got his first rushing touchdown.
You get in when you can get in, because there are no guarantees from the one. We saw that. All right. So
very good point.
So I will take that hit. Like Mike McCoy talked about on Monday, when he's out of the pocket and he holds on to the ball, looking for something, get rid of it, take incomplete, instead of taking 200-300-pound guys hitting you and going on to the next play. You know, it's learning discretion. It's learning to minimize damage, you know, to the team and to your body, you know, so that, you know, you're selective on when you put yourself in jeopardy. And to get in the end zone is one of those times, in my opinion, especially on a team that's proven there's no guarantee from 1 yard out.
It's a very good point. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call tomorrow, the NFL game of the week is the Chiefs and the Cowboys at 3:30 p.m. on 1025 The Game. The NFL game of the week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Brandon Bigsby, next man up, 1025 The Game. The Commodores will take on the Tennessee Volunteers this Saturday. Pre-game begins at 1 p.m. on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan, with the kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football is brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Brandon Bigsby with you on this Wednesday. Corey, before we move on from the Titans, got to get to one of our favorite topics on the show, the tight ends.
Yeah,
Chig and Gunner have continued to make plays. Chig Okonkwo leads the team in receiving right now, which I guess I shouldn't be surprised by. But
it is surprising.
When I looked at the stats, I saw Chig at the top of the receiving board, and I said, "Wow, he might be playing himself into a contract."
Well, I mean, he continues to average right about three catches per game, which puts him at, you know, 50 catches, which is what he's been the last couple of years. And I would like to see him be a 4 or 5 catch per game guy. I'd love to see him get 75 touches during the season. And so I, because again, he, I like Gunnar Helm. I like the catch radius. I like the hands. He needs to come up with that third down ball that Cam threw him on Sunday. But but Chig can do things with the ball in his hands that Gunner can't. And so I continue to want to see him get opportunities to catch the ball and turn it upfield. I don't know if he's in their plans or not. You know, if you're going to tell me it's because he's not a good blocker, well, Gunner's not a good blocker either. So, you know, I mean, there was a play in Sunday's game where Gunner didn't even get out of his stance and the guy was by him. All right. So neither of them are going to light the world on fire blocking. But as I've said before, and I will say again, you know, coaching is about putting players in position to do things they do well. And there are a couple of things he does well. And I think there's room on a 53-man roster for a guy like him. And if the Titans don't sign him, somebody else is, and somebody else is going to give him the football. And you're going to say, well, why didn't we do that? Or why didn't he do that here? And I'm going to say, because they didn't do that. All right? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. He's going to get a contract somewhere. It's just a matter of whether they want it to be here or not.
And I don't think it would be all that expensive to bring it back. Maybe...
Yeah, I don't. You know,
2 years, $6-7 million, oh God, somewhere
did,
in there.
You?
I didn't even mean to do it. It just kind of came out like that, completely unintentional. But I think you bring him back and you feel good about tight end heading into next year with Chig and Gunner Helm, and you don't have to spend resources there except for maybe you go get a pure blocking tight end to be your third guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and they've still got Martin Robinson, who's more of a bigger physical guy. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, again, it's going to depend on the next coach, but you know, I don't know what Mike Borgonzi's plan is for these guys in that position. You know, they do need a guy. They do need a clear cut, you know, dual guy, you know, a guy who can block in that situation, you know, and really get it done. I'm trying to find what Chig Okonkwo spot track a lot of times will project what a guy's
the market
agent,
value.
Yeah, what their market value is. So I'm seeing if I can find that on spot track right now. Because I would think, you know, between 5 and 8 million, you know, per year.
Right.
But, you know, that might be crazy. I don't know. And, you know, I would think he can get a multi-year deal somewhere. But, you know, that remains to be seen. So we'll see.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go back to our phone lines and talk to Howie. Howie, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm enjoying the show this morning. You know, just I have a question, but I really like how you guys are talking about how Okonkwo maybe could be working his way into another contract. Talking about Helm and his awesome talents, both very talented tight ends. And I guess I have a summarizing question about the whole receiving core, and that basically could we win with these guys? You know, because there's a lot of chatter on Titans Twitter about we just need a number one receiver, a true number one receiver. But when I look at these guys now, Aya Manor, who had a great start to the season and he faded off. Of course, DK is rising. And I compare them to Titans greats like Derek Mason and Drew Bennett. You know, Derek Mason had like 11 receptions for 186 yards his first season. You know, look at who he is, what he became. You know, Drew Bennett had 4 receptions, 55 yards in his rookie season. I mean, Frank Leitch had 16 receptions, 113 yards. These guys that we're talking about now, you know, Helm, you know, and DK Amer, I'm just saying, they could become something. And so I just wonder, do you guys think we need to kind of just pump the brakes on always looking in the draft and just maybe see what we got here for the next year? And thanks so much for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Well,
yeah,
I think
thanks for the call, Howie.
I think, you know, the Titans have the mantra now of draft and develop. And I think that has to include continuing to develop some of the guys that you've got, okay? You know, you have to be able to do that. And not every player that you sign or keep has to be a $15-20 million per year player. And so, you know, you know, I think you can re-sign Chig Okonkwo. It's just, what do you want him to be on your football team? You know, what is he looking to be on a football team? Because I go back to Delanie Walker as a free agent. You know, the Titans let Jared Cook walk, and they went and they got Delanie Walker, who was kind of a backup and a special teams ace for the 49ers. And they said, you're going to be our number one tight end. And he said, great, I want to be a number one tight end. That's you know, and I think he was behind Vernon Davis at the time. Vernon Davis was pretty good. And so, you know, he came here, he got that opportunity, and obviously excelled, was really a fantastic Titan. And so, you know, the Titans may want him back, but there may be somebody, and this is the danger of letting guys get to free agency, is there may be somebody who wants him more. You know, there might be, you know, say like Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh is like, hey, you know, give me Chig Okonkwo. We can do this with him. He's, you know, it's like when the Patriots overpaid for Jonnu Smith. They gave him like $12 million a year, but they had no plan for him, which was staggeringly stupid from the genius. But that's what they did. You know, you're worth what somebody will pay you. Now, if you really want to keep people, you're better off re-signing them while they're still under contract because no one else can negotiate with them. You just don't know, would Chig be willing to negotiate, or his people be willing to negotiate right now? You know, or would they rather just feel better about going to free agency when you can weigh contracts against each other?
Yeah, that's fair. And I think Howie makes a good point that you do have pieces that you can build around, but I still think this team is missing an alpha number one wide receiver, and that's something you only find at the top of the draft.
Look,
so,
I'm agreeing with what you're saying here because, like, you know, Io Manor and DK, you're feeling like are a step up from you know, Nick Westbrook, Akine,
yes,
and some of these other guys that you've been rolling out there for years. You know, you feel like one of these guys or both of them could eventually be a 1,000-yard type receiver. And I know that sounds like a lot. It's not. I mean, it's 60 yards a game, okay? It's 60 yards a game. So if I told you, hey, you know, Chim Dike can be a guy who averages 5 catches for 60 yards a game, would that blow you away? Would you say, no way? I mean, no, that seems reasonable, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, that's all we're looking at. So I think they're part of the solution, all right? But you still got to have, like you said, you still got to have stars. You know, there are, I mean, look at the Cowboys. They've got CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, okay? you just want one of them, all right? You just want one of them at this point, and they need to go out and find, you know, that guy. And maybe one of these guys is that guy in development, but they're going to have to prove it first. They both look like nice pieces. We'll see. Answering the question, they definitely look like a part of the solution.
100%. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Looking for a great spot to pregame on Sunday before the Titans game? Stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 1025 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. We're going to flip over to college football next. Vanderbilt and Tennessee coming up on Saturday. Showdown in state over at Neyland Stadium. Commodores trying to play their way into the playoffs, and Diego Pavia may be playing for the Heisman Trophy. We'll talk about it next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Brandon Bigsby, next man up, 1025 The Game. Saturday's college football game of the week is Vanderbilt at Tennessee at 2:30 p.m. on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Brandon Bigsby, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Finishing up hour number one of our shortened show. We're with you till 10:30 before Vandy men's basketball takes over from down in Atlantis. Corey, we're going to preview Vandy and Tennessee coming up at the top of the hour, but there is a larger story around Diego Pavia coming into this game. Maybe not larger, equal. Diego Pavia fighting for the Heisman Trophy. And I said yesterday on the show, I think that Diego Pavia, as of right now, deserves to win the Heisman Trophy. It was not looking great for him heading into November. The stats didn't quite match up with the story of what he was doing for Vanderbilt football. But now he has better stats than most of the other candidates. And I think as of right now, he deserves it with still 1 week to go in the regular season and, of course, conference championships.
Well, you know, as a voter, I guess I'm a little limited on what I can say. But
right, that's a very good point.
I will say that there were a lot of complaints that his stats didn't line up. Well, he's thrown and run for over 1,300 yards the last three games. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous. If you compare him just statistically with the other Heisman candidates, his numbers are better, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if you just want to go on numbers, his numbers are better. I think it, now, like, if you want to argue if a guy is a better quarterback or a better player, we can have
better
that
NFL prospect.
Yeah, we can have that argument. The thing that I will continue to say, which I don't think is an arguable situation, he's the most important player in college football. He is more important to his team than any player in college football. I think Kurt Cignitti, in just 2 years in Indiana, has shown he'll find a quarterback, plug him into his system, and go, right? He's done it. He's brought in two, you know, rando guys.
Yeah. Curtis Rourke and Fernando Mendoza.
Nobody was talking about these guys, all right? And they come to Indiana, they play for Cignitti, and they put up big numbers. You know, Ty Simpson, people were ready to give him the trophy a month ago, and now he's not even in the top five, all right?
Right.
You know, and then, you know, you've got Sayan at Ohio State. The numbers, I mean, I think his completion percentage is up over 80%. It's, you know, you can't really argue with that. It's really good. I mean, he's a good football player surrounded by really good football players. But every play that Vanderbilt runs, run or pass, runs through Diego Pavia. Every run play runs through him. He has to be accounted for on every run play. Not every, I don't know if there's another player that can say that. Maybe Marcel Reed, maybe. But he's not the running threat that Pavia is. And so, you know, his overall importance every play. And I do think it's important the way his swagger and confidence, it's part of it. It's part of the package because it's changed the team. He absolutely, his attitude has helped change the team. And I think that people who aren't around it or see it enough don't appreciate that enough. They, you know, they find him annoying. They find him brash. And they don't
like his mom being on TV.
Yeah, they're not understanding the whole package. I guess that's my whole thing, is they're not understanding the whole package. They're 9-2, okay? I don't know if you put any of those other quarterbacks on this football team if they're 9-2. He is literally the straw that stirs the drink. And, you know, I hope more people look and pay attention to it. These other guys are great players. Jeremiah Love is a great player. I would love to see him in a Titans uniform next year. Okay. You know, Marcel Reed from NBA, dad was the TSU head coach, is a great football player. Justin Sayan's a great football player. Mendoza's having a great year. I'm not going to disparage any of those guys. But if Pavia is not on your ballot for one of the top three, because you get three spots to vote in, 1, 2, and 3. If he's not one of those, I have a hard time with that.
Yeah, and I think if Pavia was to lose, it would be because he just fell victim to the quarterback on the best team of, you're going to get Mendoza versus Sayan in the Big Ten championship. Winner of that game is going to get the number one seed in the college football playoff, and maybe they win it. But Diego Pavia putting up the stats that he's had this year and taking Vandy to its first 10-win regular season in program history, that has to mean something. And I think a good game in a win against Tennessee not only should cement a seat for him in New York, but give him a puncher's chance at winning the trophy in a couple of weeks.
Jake, he could put up 400 yards again in this game.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about passing, I'm talking about overall. I mean, he could throw for 350 and run for 80 and put 30 points on the board again. I mean, Tennessee's defense, I know they were good last week, but much of the season they've given up a lot of points. You know, we expect this game to be a shootout. And if he doesn't win this game, it's going to be more difficult for him, okay? It's going to be more difficult for him at 9-3 than it is at 10-2. At 10-2, sure. If you're not paying attention, I don't know what to do for you. I don't know what to do for you. But you know, it's an amazing story. I mean, we talk about Cam Ward's story. He had zero offers. Zero. All right. He was junior college. And he's gone from third string junior college quarterback to us sitting here talking about him, should he win the Heisman? The best player in college football. It's a staggering story about perseverance and undying belief in yourself. And that's what he has.
It's been unbelievable. And he's got to be able to perform on Saturday in Neyland Stadium if he's going to be able to win the Heisman Trophy and if Vanderbilt is going to make the college football playoff. We'll have that discussion coming up next. We've got 30 more minutes with you, leading you up to Vanderbilt men's basketball taking on Western Kentucky coming up at 11 a.m. pregame starting at 10:30. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Brandon Bigsby, next man up, 1025 The Game.